This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allowed 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Want to teach your kids financial literacy, but not sure where to start? Greenlight can help. With Greenlight, parents can keep an eye on kids' spending and saving, while kids and teens use a card of their own to build money confidence. As a parent, you can send instant money transfers, set up chores, automate allowance, and more. It's a convenient way to run your household, customized to your family's needs, and the easy way to raise financially smart kids. Get started with Greenlight today and get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey.
This is the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show with Captain Mickey Eastman.
Mickey broke the record at Camp Denny's on oysters, about however many you can eat.
Captain Mickey has been guiding the Texas Gulf Coast waters for over 40 years, and along with winning numerous national and local tournaments, Captain Mickey was recently inducted into the Saltwater Legends Hall of Fame.
Now, the reason I broke the record is I don't think I had enough money in my pocket to pay for all of them. Because if you break the record, everybody with you eats free.
Now, here's your host, Captain Mickey.
Good morning. Welcome to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show on this Sunday morning. I'm Captain Mickey Eastman producing the Outdoor Show. This morning is Jace. Our sponsors today, Allied Industrial Sales Incorporated, the Belleville Meat Market, and Boyd's One Stop. All right. 77 down on the island this morning. Feels like 79. Looks like today, variable clouds, windy with scattered thunderstorms. That rain chance earlier was 70%. They've just dropped it to 50. But looks like south-southeast winds 20 to 30 and higher wind gusts are possible. And tonight, windy, scattered storms again. Looks like a 60% chance tonight, south-southeast 20 to 30. And then for tomorrow, windy, few clouds from time to time, high of 83, south-southeast winds 20 to 30. Higher wind gusts possible. Boy, that's a broken record forecast right there. Goodness. All right, looking at tides for today. These are Galveston Channel tide predictions. We have four of them. We're sitting on a, well, on the high right now. That occurred at 2:45 a.m. It was a 1.6. We did have a low right at midnight. Next tide is a low at 10:33 a.m., an 0.1, and then a high at 7:10 p.m., a 1.8. 6:34 a.m. is sunrise this morning. It's a little earlier than yesterday, but 5:31 p.m. sunset. Man, I don't know whether I can get used to being dark at 6 o'clock in the evenings. Anyway, moon phase is 1%. We're coming up with a new moon headed towards our next full moon. And currently, wind conditions right now around the complex. Looks like Morgan's Point up there. It's got a lot of east in it across the board this morning, inland. East at 16 with higher gust. Eagle Point is southeast at 17. San Luis Pass, 14 out of the southeast. And the Galveston North Jetty is 18 out of the southeast. The old rollover site is 15. Now, that's just sustained winds at this time. Gusts could be higher, especially near storms. So, that's kind of where we stand this morning, weather and wind and tides. And hope everybody enjoyed that extra hour of sleep last night. That was pretty nice. All right, let's go check in with a Hammer. I think he's at the deer lease or somewhere this morning. Morning, Hammer. What's up?
Good morning, sir. Good morning, everybody. How are y'all?
We're good. What's up with you?
Well, I'm inside of a barn, but I'm inside of a tent inside of a barn, so I can't feel the wind this morning.
It sounded like you must have got some rain, man. Your tent was leaking.
Well, just in case. Yes, sir. We've had enough of those roughing it tight. You know what I mean. But anyway, no brown on the ground. That was for sure. We got down here late yesterday afternoon, and we were waiting for today, and nobody got anything. And we heard a couple of gunshots. We seen a few deer. We were, just using my binoculars and looking around. Plenty of wildlife moving, but they didn't start moving until about an hour before dark, and they started coming out, man. We spotted some pretty nice deers, but anyway, it's soggy out here, man. It was like when we came in the gate, it was slipping and sliding all the way back to the ranch.
Goodness.
We got to go through about four different gates, but anyway, slipping and sliding and putting in four-wheel drive and just kind of ease on through it, it's the most rain that I've seen Sweeney have in quite a while. But, we've been getting plenty down at Surfside and stuff. And we thought that, I've been watching it all week long. And it's kind of escaped the bullet here in Sweeney. But we were getting it mostly along the coast. And then before we got down here yesterday, man, there must have came a soaker, buddy. I mean, it was... It was a little slick, to say the least. But
there were some areas that had quite a bit of rain yesterday in places. I know my drought's over at my house. I don't know. I had about 3.5 inches, I guess.
Holy moly. Boy, y'all did get soaked.
Yeah.
And that's the way Surfside has been the last couple of days. It's been training right off the Gulf and coming right on us. Just coming just like a line of storms that, not bad ones, but you could tell it was just going like 30 miles out into the Gulf. And as it coming onto the shore, it just inundated us. But anyway, let's see. I don't know if I'm going to shoot this morning or what. I might just sleep in, Captain Mickey. You said really? Something about that hour. We gained an hour of rest last night. I don't feel like it because we sat out around the campfire last night and had a great time.
Yeah.
Doug and Nancy, they went out to the Houston Cougar game, and they went to that.
I think the Cougars ended up winning that game.
They sure did. They sure did.
They were all happy. A&M last night, they run into a buzz all over there. It looked bad from the start, but I didn't get to watch it. I had a long day yesterday, and so I kind of went to bed early. I got a real full night's sleep for a change.
Man, that's something else. I forgot all about that change. I thought it was at midnight Sunday night, but I guess I was wrong.
It's always been on Saturday as long as I've been around.
Always seem to do away with this.
Just leave it alone now. See, we're on regular time now. We need to, then this spring we'll go on daylight savings time. I don't know what we're saving. We're just messing everybody's schedule up. That's all we're doing.
It does. And
the animals don't care. They don't have a clock. They just look at the sunrise and sunset.
No, and there was plenty of movement out. I don't know what phase the moon was in or what, but there was plenty of.
Yeah, we're on a dark moon. We have no moon at all right now.
Plenty of animal movement. Like I said, about an hour before dark, they started creeping out, and we spotted some nice deer. But it's just, I don't know, man, where we drive, we got to drive about 5 miles back, 3 miles back into the woods and through three or four gates, and it was slippery. It was slippery. Yeah. You could tell that the hunters had been out, and it's kind of a weird deal, kind of scary because it's coming through the property. They got a couple of feeders here and there. Things are changing. This place never was like that, and we always had open access, which we still do. But there's more people buying land and more people putting up feeders and stuff, and things are changing. But hey, man, we're blessed to have what we have, and to be able to come out here. And spend quality time with friends, and like I said, man, we had a great fire sitting around a campfire. when they finally got in here last night. I think it was probably close to 10 o'clock. I don't know. But they, you know, after the Houston game, Houston Cougar game, then they drove on back down here. But no, it's quiet. It's calm this morning. Of course, I'm inside of a barn, inside of a tent. I can't feel the wind blowing, so I can't give you a real accurate.
Oh, well, wind. I got that covered.
You do. You do.
It's windy. Sure.
Man, Captain Mickey, what would we do without you, buddy?
Oh,
you keep us informed.
Life
you keep
goes
us
on,
strong.
Believe me.
I don't know, buddy. Yeah,
life
it does.
Life is short. I went running.
It does.
I was at a funeral yesterday, and then I run into one of my buddies that he didn't duck hunt because that was the second funeral he was going to, and he had a third one after that. So we're getting in that age class at man,
sorry to hear that, buddy.
They're dropping
Did you
around
say,
us, buddy.
Yesterday was the first day of duck season?
Yes, deer and duck.
Deer and duck.
Yeah, I had a few friends send me deer pictures and duck pictures, and everybody seemed to have a good shoot for opening weekend. Here we go. And it's
just wonderful. You know, I was surprised that we didn't hear more shots than we did yesterday afternoon, because it really was a pretty nice day, except it was warm as you can imagine. It was close to 80 degrees out here yesterday. It felt like it anyway. You know, back in the woods, you just can't feel the breeze like you do right there on the coast. But anyway, that's what we're missing this morning. Well, I say that. I guess I could go step outside and see.
It's breezy today. 20 to 30 with higher wind gusts is what they're saying.
Holy moly. So what's sucking that wind up? Another front
that
coming
frontal,
or what?
Frontal boundary coming at us.
Okay. Then I understand there.
Yeah.
Yep, it does. It pulls off that gulf, buddy. And, you know, it's kept mosquitoes off of us. So the problem here is with the ants. It's just like the ground has been so saturated that the ants, I went to plug in something out at the deer barn where we clean a deer, and the ants have came up out of the ground and climbed up that pole, and I mean inundated the plug. I mean, oh my goodness, if to all the ants, and I
sounds
got out
like
some
those crazy ants, those raspberry ants.
Tiny.
Yeah, that's the ones. Million. You need to get rid of those. Those that chew all your electrical stuff up. They'll short out all your breaker points and pressure switches on water wells. They are nasty. I've been fighting them for 4 or 5 years now.
They're coming in on these container ships,
and they're just taking over. They come from
no matter what I sprayed on them, they were like resistant to it. They were
no,
like,
you
hey,
put
man,
some Bifen on them and they won't be resistant. It'll pile up.
Bifen,
up
by you
handfuls.
Can't beat it. But no, that's it, man. I'm trying to keep it down where I don't wake everybody up. But anyway, Captain Mickey, things are going good. The Tri-Bay area looks good. The bait camps and all that are holding bait. And we've been doing pretty good, catching a few nice fish down there. I don't mean any trophy trout or nothing like that, but some good reds and some good trout. And maybe here in the next month or two, we'd get us a cold front and drop that water temperature. And you know what I mean? And then it's going to be on like a chicken bone. So,
yeah, and
but,
in about 2 months from now, we'll be complaining because the water's too cold and we want some warm weather.
Right. Right. Well, you know when you can tell it's real good is when you can barely feel your fingers. You know, people go, "What? You're fishing when it's that cold?" Well, yeah, duh. They got to eat.
It's so good.
You know what I mean?
You know, you got to just bear through.
I love it, man, in the wintertime, but it ain't there. We ain't there yet. Lord have mercy, we're not. I think the water temperature is probably in the mid-70s, isn't it? Somewhere
upper 70s,
upper 70s,
78
oh, my
to 80, 81 depends on where you're at on the coast. Farther south you go, the warmer the water is.
Well, anyway, cool off, come on, cold front. I think the temperatures look like towards the end of the week it might start getting cooler, right?
Yeah,
some kind of cold.
Yeah,
little
we got
bit
some
of a
cooler weather ahead. It's
right.
Got something positive coming anyway. All right, Hammer, I'll let you get back to your tent sleeping, and dreaming of big deer. But somebody wants to call you about coming down to the Tri-Bay area and fishing. Will you give them a number, my friend?
Yes, sir. 713-208-0683. Happy fun Sunday to everybody.
All right, Glenn. You have a good one. Y'all have fun out there. Enjoy it.
Yes, sir. Thanks, buddy.
Later, man. All right, that's the hammer from the Deer Lease. Well, folks, if you need pipe or valves, fittings, instrumentation, fasteners, or gaskets, and you need them fast, look no farther than Allied Industrial Sales Incorporated. They're your one-stop shop for all of your petrochemical supply needs. With a full fleet of delivery trucks and same-day delivery, there's no need to wait weeks for other distributors. Let Allied deliver today. And if you're looking for that hard-to-find item or can't wait on long deliveries, their sales team has over 100 years of combined experience, and they're here to support you from start to finish, whether you're on a 24/7 maintenance project or ground-up construction. Allied can take care of you. Remember, the first three letters of Allied are all, and that's exactly what they do. Call Allied Industrial Sales. Let them handle it all for you. 281-332-6224 or sales at alliedinc.com. Spell out Inc. That's 281-332-6224.
Ready to start talking to your kids about financial literacy? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app that teaches kids and teens how to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest with your guardrails in place. Parents can send instant money transfers, automate allowance, and more. Plus, keep an eye on spending with real-time notifications. Join more than 6 million families building healthy financial habits together on Greenlight. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey. That's greenlight.com/odyssey.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show. All right. 418 in Bayou City. Let's go over to Freeport and check in with old Captain Jeff Naylor this morning, see what he's up to. Good morning, Jeff. What's going on over that way?
What's up, Captain Miggy? How are you doing this morning?
Oh, man, I'm doing.
That's right.
I'm doing, man, it's brother.
So wind, it looks like it's going to be stuck with us for a while. Maybe we're into the fall pattern.
Yeah. Rock and roll offshore, buddy.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Man, everybody's down here is kind of putting it up. The fleeing dive boat down here kind of buttoning down the hatches. I think the commercial guys told me the other day they're kind of slowing down quite a bit and tightening everything up for the fall.
Yeah,
but man, that season already. It seems like the summer just kind of blasted right through, and you know, here we are. So
yeah, we're hung up between summer and winter, with very little fall.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, that's Texas weather for you too. You know, historically speaking, we won't get much in between here and in January. But who knows? We'll see what comes about. That's you know, I had the neighborhood kids over here fishing in the lights last night. Boy, they were just killing some redfish. So
really good, you know, reds.
Yeah, DCI, all keepers.
Oh, that's awesome.
Know, Yeah, not bad. And, you know, the other day when I was over here looking at the lights, I rarely see some bigger trout. You know, the bigger trout tend to stay out in the dark, you know, on the edge of the lights. But, man, the other day they were just pulling up. They were decent-sized trout, which kind of surprising. You know, you don't normally see them until at least the first good cold front or something like that. You know, pretty deep back in here where I live. So, you know, they'll start kind of swimming around when it gets cool, obviously chasing to the warmer water. But, yeah, man, kind of looking like it's a little bleak for the offshore for a little while.
Well, it's that time of year, you know, you got to play your days between cold fronts and southerly flows and just, There's one little glob of rain out in the Gulf moving towards Galveston this morning. And the rest of it looks pretty good as far as rain goes, but a lot of wind.
A lot of wind. Yesterday it rained pretty good, too. It's off and on over here.
Yeah, I think everybody got some pretty good rain yesterday. I know I did, finally. My drought's over around my place. So.
The wife, she told me I need to go out and fertilize in the yard, you know, and I blew it off a couple days ago. Kind of wish I did, though. Who knows when it's going to give us another good little rain like that. That would have been a great time to do it, but
got pretty good chances today and tonight and tomorrow. A little bit less chance tomorrow, so.
Yeah.
And get a front in here and get our wind switched around, lay everything down, and everybody can get back to it. Get back on the fish, man.
Absolutely. We, you know, I'm spending this time doing all the maintenance to all the boats and everything. And, you know what? I rebuilt that bay boat a couple years ago. I talked to you pretty much the whole time I was doing it. I did the raised console with the frame instead of actually fiberglassing it in. And, you know what? As a review of that, that was probably one of the smartest things I ever did. That thing is so nice. And I think I did it 15 inches high. So it wasn't, I mean, I guess, you know, traditionally it may be a little bit higher than typical raised consoles, but it was almost the perfect size. I got a small 45 quart Yeti and it slides right up underneath it. I put a little netting around the outside that you can kind of snatch from one side and put it on the other and hold the
keep everything up underneath the platform itself. Yeah.
Man, that thing is so nice. And you know, you told me early on, you said, well, it's a great thing to have, but you're gonna get tired eventually of climbing up on the top of it, you know, which I probably don't fish nearly as much as you guys. I get it, you know, as far as bay fishing goes, but you know, I made one little bar step on the back, and man, it has been dynamite. It has really been a good, But I figured I'd give a report of that, like, you know, a few years into it to see how I like it. And, man, I do, you know, that old JH boat, when I rebuilt it, of course I tore it all to bare bones. I mean, bare bones. Rebuilt all the stringers in it.
I remember the work you put into that. That was something else.
Yeah, it was a complete overhaul. And, man, I still love that boat. It's a really, really good boat. It doesn't get, you know, it's an older model, so it doesn't have the tunnel hole like the newer ones. And, you know, I guess it won't get as skinny, but cruising through, like, East Bay in 2-foot, you know, chop out in the middle of the bay.
Well, that makes it a lot nicer ride, man. You know,
sure does.
There's actually no such thing as a perfect boat for inshore fishing. There's just really not. You know, you get one that rides super good, and then it's wet. Well, you get one that's not wet, and it rides like a army tank. And, I mean, it just whatever fits your needs. When I look at a boat, I go for the ride for the most important part, and dry if I can get it. And because you spend so many hours and making long runs, you got to cross open waters and all that. I get it. And, you know, if you're not able. I don't ever run real shallow anyway, looking for fish like that. I pretty much find them from out deep, looking in, and then shut it down, idle in, and get out and wade fish. I mean,
sure.
And then, you know, you can still jump up in 2 feet of water or anything like that. Now, way down south, when you're getting way back skinny, then you got to have a boat for that. But up here on the upper coast, ride is everything.
Yes. I completely agree with you on that.
You know, you want a boat that'll drift true when you cut that key off and you set up on some fish. You want to drift down to them without having to turn your motor one side or the other and get the troll motor down to keep your track right. You know, I want something that's true. When I cut it off, I know my target's downwind and I'm going to drift perfectly into it, you know.
Sure.
And absolutely. Quietness. The yep. less hull slap you got, the better it is.
Absolutely. It turned out to be a great boat, man. I mean, I'm super impressed.
That's good.
You know, I still got I never did end up getting a new motor for it. I still got the Evinrude 200 HO on it, and
right, that high output E-Tech.
Yeah, and I tell you what, man, it's a power horse right off the bat. That HO is something else. I mean,
I ran those for years, and tournament fishing was sponsored by them, and I had good performance out of them.
Yeah. She's a little bit older, leaks oil, like she just, you know, constantly has allergies, but it does good, man. I'm you know, highly impressed. It you know, got that skeg about half eaten off, but it, you know, she still goes true, and you know, I'm that little setup is actually pretty nice, man. So
well, think about that skeg, you know, if you ever want it back to full size, you can drop the lower unit, take it to Bauman's, they'll weld you a new one on there, or buy a skeg protector. One of
sure.
those stainless skeg protectors, and just drill it and bolt it on there.
You know, I am having problems with, you know, I change out all the seals, and I try to change my lower unit seals at least every couple of years. This one here was ready to be changed. Last time, that's about the only bad thing. It's just the maintenance on that lower unit. When you try to take that lower unit off, the shaft has a connection point that's up in, it's right below the power head. You got to pull a little.
Yeah, where it goes up in the block, yeah.
Yeah, and it's not exactly super easy to take off, but, you know, that's the only downfall to it, but the seals on that lower unit are made a little bit different, and generally speaking, you know, on the outer lower seal where the prop is, you know, typically I'll drill a little
prop shaft
hole.
Seal.
Yeah, and I'll put me a little, you know, do the old screw trick, you know, drill a little screw in there, pull it out with a hammer or the tall part of the hammer. But, man, this one here, it's got like a stainless steel frame around it, and I can't drill that hole just perfect. It wants to slip down into the into that shaft.
Yeah.
And I think a while back, I must have just bumped that shaft just a little bit because it still likes to leak. I mean, I can make it all season long, you know, with changing the oil out, but it will slowly dissipate. Now, what can you do about, you know, making that shaft true again? I mean, can you? I've always
what
been
is your
told
prop shaft bent. Are you saying the prop shaft bent?
No. One of the times I tried to change the seal on it, I was trying to drill that hole, and I think I bumped the shaft just a little bit, and it just scratched it right about where that seal is. And I'm pretty sure that's where it's leaking. I mean, it ain't by much, you know, by much at all. You know what I'm talking about? So I had to seal the prop shaft seal.
Yeah, you can't. I mean, has it got like a burr on it that's causing the seal to leak, or is it just,
could it be
sanded down and you know, with emery cloth and all that, or what?
Yeah, I think you just answered my question. Yeah, I think it is just a little
emery
burr
cloth
on it.
You want it real smooth and slick. You don't want any kind of burr or anything, because that'll just barely cut that seal, nick it just enough to make it, you know, seep.
Yeah. You know, that's the only thing that I got going
or
on that.
Replace the prop shaft, you know, put a new shaft in it.
Yeah.
I don't think that's necessary unless you've really been one bad.
It's not like it's getting water intrusion in it. So that's the whole thing. I mean, it's only losing some of the oil. Now, it doesn't lose very much. Like I said, it's just, you know, at the end of the season, I'll probably put another, you know, just fill it up kind of thing. It ain't a bunch. But it does make me nervous, you know.
Yeah, you want to get that fixed because you never know when that seal's going to fail all the way and then just dump all of your oil and just fill it up with water. Water doesn't run too good in gear cases.
It does not. No.
It don't last very long like that.
Right. And these parts are getting harder and harder. You know, those Evinrudes, they're starting to fade out a little bit. So,
that's the bad thing, parts availability.
Yeah. So, doing that on the bay boat and in the big boat, we're doing, you know, the overhaul. I've got 1,000 hours on these motors, so we're doing, the whole 1,000-hour service with pretty much everything. Filters, BST filters, to anode, spark plugs, you name it. We're tearing it apart. You know, it's the motors that I have on the big boat right now are Yamaha 300, so I don't have to do the valve adjustment and stuff like that, but I got to do all the other stuff to it, it's a good deal of work regardless. So, man, it's about that time, though. You know, I always try to do it around this time of the year because you never really know if it's going to sit up for 4 months or if it's going to sit up for a month or, you know, what's going to happen with it, really. So, maintenance.
Boats sitting up's worse on them than running them every day.
Sure. You know, people call me all the time and they ask me, you know, what do I need to do for my winterization and stuff like that? You know, I always suggest, I mean, it's Texas, you know, it doesn't freeze here very much.
No.
It's not something that you really necessarily have to be concerned with. But, you know, if you did, change all your fluids and stuff like that, probably wouldn't hurt. You know, I think you're always the biggest risk that you have if you don't replace your, your water pump or your, is that thing sticking somehow. But, man, you pull it out about once a month and just put the muffs on it, run it. Shoot, you can't hardly go wrong around here.
No, fill your gas tank all the way up, put you some fuel treatment in there, some stabilizer of some kind, you're good to go. Problem people have with condensation in fuel tanks, I've never had that problem because I don't let one sit up long anyway. But
right.
I always keep my tank as close to full as I can. I know it's that extra weight, you know, and my boat holds 96 gallons. That's a lot of extra weight, but it knocks that condensation down where you don't get that sweating. Plus, if you keep a boat under a carport or inside, you keep a lot of that sun and heat off of it where you get the warm up and the cool down. That's what causes that sweat in the tank. And big importance. You know, if you got one, you got a tank, it's only a quarter full, and, you know, you got all that air in there, and that causes a lot of problems. But spin-on fuel filters are, man, what a great thing those are. Change those out.
Sure. Absolutely.
If you're even thinking about changing it, go ahead and do it. I mean, it won't hurt anything. I know they're a little pricey, you know, they're good microns, but it's worth it. You don't want to run water through your injectors or anything like that. And just,
absolutely.
Not rocket science. Pretty simple. If I can do it, anybody can do it. So,
No, we always have a problem. We keep all of our boats over here in the warehouse. And, you know, luckily the warehouse we keep it in now is all insulated and it doesn't sweat nearly as bad as
when
we keep it at some of the marinas and stuff like that, it don't. And this fall season is you know, it makes those boats sweat. They're always wet on the inside and all that, and mold and yada, yada, yada. And, I mean, if you actually just put a real small fan, keep the boxes open and put a small fan down in the bottom somewhere and just keep some air circulating around it, you'll cut that down tremendously, you know. And,
no doubt.
Might get lucky and not even get a bunch of mold and stuff throughout the fall.
No. If you do, nothing like Clorox bleach, man. Nothing like
that's it. That's right.
It's a mold killer.
This, an old school captain taught me a long time ago. You take that Clorox bleach and Dawn soap. If you got some real bad stains, that combination right there, I think what that Dawn soap does, it more or less just attaches it, lets that Clorox just kind of hang on the walls a little longer or something like that.
I got one of those foam cannons that you put on your pressure washer.
Yeah.
I'll mix that with a combination of that good foam soap and bleach in there at the same time and just coat the whole boat. Now, I won't put it on my engine. I don't want to put any bleach on my paint job on my Honda, but I'll just coat the whole boat down and let it sit for about 5 minutes and come back with a pressure washer, and man, shining like a new dime, baby. Let me knock this break out. Yeah, let me knock this break out right quick, Jeff. I'll be right back at you, buddy. All right. Well, I need to take a moment and tell everybody about the Belleville Meat Market. Well, it's deer season, folks, and no better place to take your wild game than the Belleville Meat Market. Plus, their meat market, full menu of pecan smoked barbecue. They serve that Monday through Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. And check out all their smoked sausage samples. They have those available in the store daily. You can try it before you buy it. See which blend you like the best, because they got tons of blends of sausage. And their original country hot dogs, buy two packs, get the third pack free. And if you're looking to have a quarter or half calf process, that's available for pre-order and custom processing. And their wild game processing facility, they have a new recipe of sausage here available just in time for deer season. You got to try it. It's really good. And check out their deer tamales and their venison hot dogs. Your family will love that you did. And they're now taking orders for their country smoked turkeys, 11 to 13-pound average weight birds. Limited supply, so get them while you can. That's the Belleville Meat Market, where meat is our middle name. Good morning and welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show. 4:40 here in the Bayou City on this Sunday morning. All right, Mr. Naylor, we're back.
Back in action. Back in action. You know, the only thing that I talked about, that raised console, the only thing that I'm struggling with is my rod holders. So if I get three people in the boat and I got one person up front casting, one in the back, and me in the center console, of course, those rods that, stick up on the side of the console, they constantly get in the way.
You don't have any side rod boxes where you can put them down?
No, I don't. I built it. It's a complete just casting deck from front to back. It's got a little raised deck in the front. But, I built that platform, too, so that I could put some of the rods underneath there, which is fine if they're, 6'5", maybe 7 foot. Well, excuse me, six fives or less, but I'm still struggling on how to stash them underneath the console. What kind of hangers to put them on or something like that.
They make those rings. That's what I have in my Kenner on the sides, where the, below the gunnels on the sides. They make these aluminum-like rings that you screw them in because with that rolled edge boat I've got, it's got, the panels like 6 feet apart or 5 feet apart or what have you, where you can screw those into there. There's a wooden base back there behind the glass. And I've got three on each side. That way the extra rods I have in the boat, I just put them in there, and they got a little slip ring in them. The butt goes in one end. It's stationary. And then the end that your end of the rod goes in, you just slide that Teflon ring in there and put the rod in it and slide it up where it won't jump out of that half moon like ring when you're running. And those are handy. I remember I bought those, good Lord, at Boat Stuff there off 45 when it was still open back in the day. He stocked those.
Yeah.
Danielson or whatever his name was. Nice guy.
Yeah.
And but I'm sure you can order that kind of stuff online. If you had a place,
sure.
You know how you could hang them underneath that platform where you can slide them in there? And, kind of like those racks they put in Suburbans where you put your rods up, on the
on the top.
Headliner?
Yeah, absolutely.
Something like that,
you get
people flinging lures, man. They're going to catch a rod tip, and that's not good. It's going to pop it off. I've seen that happen a million times.
Yeah, it's a wrap. And then, you know, I've got that ice chip that's built to slide up underneath it, you know, and so it kind of limits me how much I can put. You know, it ain't much head clearance, you know, for that the ice chip to be pushed in the back. So I'm limited on what I can, you know, put in the center of that platform. But I've got room to put about two or three rods hanging from the bottom of that.
From the platform deck itself. Yeah,
exactly. So, but with the exceptions of a little bit longer rod, they'll stick out 6-8 inches, you know, which I'm kind of
shorter rods, man.
The wife, man, I can't get her. She is a bait, spin caster. She
likes 7 foot plus rods.
Yeah. She likes those ones. She can hum her little shrimp out there. You know, she's fishing a lot with voodoo shrimp, so she's, you know, it's got a little weight to them, but you know what I mean? She likes a little bit longer, light action spinners. So with that exceptions, I mean, you know, otherwise it's great. It's fantastic. I mean, right now I have some rod holders that I have in the back of the leaning post, and so I'll normally put them in the back there, which, you know, they tend to work a little bit better than hanging them on the side of the center console. But that's the only drawback I have, and I'm going to figure it out. I don't know. So I've seen several people that put a little piece of PVC kind of sticking out 6 inches or whatever out the front just as a protector for that tip. Yeah, I'm still working. That's a work in progress still. So, But yeah, man. Otherwise, it's a great boat, and glad to have it. But and I'm working on the Honda. As soon as some of these prices start coming down a little bit, you know, it seems like the prices kind of come down a little bit, and then all of a sudden they're hard to get again. It's like, what the? You just can't win.
Yeah.
I know Honda, you know, was making some changes. So they kind of told me to hang tight for a little bit, you know, and let them figure out all their changes that they have, and then we'll you know, get a smaller motor on there, or excuse me, a shorter motor versus what I had before. So I really, that 20 inch shaft, I need one on that one. It's not a, you know, I have a jack plate, but it doesn't quite get there, and it sits low enough in the bottom, you know, with the 20 inch shaft I have on the Evinrude. I mean, with that skeg eating up like it is, you know, if I do 25, I'm going to be stuck. I don't think, I think I need to stick with a 20. So, but,
yeah,
on
the JH, you know, you got a like a 20 inch transom.
Yeah. I've got a transom built for 20 inch shaft.
Right.
Motor. You know, there was a customer of mine that, went with this a couple weekends ago, and he has a Flats Cat. And he was saying that he had a lot of blowouts on, he said he can get up, raise his jack plate up, I mean, and run in super skinny water straight as long as he'd let him. But as soon as he tried to make a turn, it'd blow out on the bottom. You have any suggestions for him? I told him to start with a four-blade prop first and then see what happens, or a cavitation.
Just blowing out in turns?
Yeah, he's blowing out in turns. Now it has those little baffles that come out of the back, so that motor sits in the cavity, you know, which I'm sure is part of the problem.
And it's a tunnel.
Yes, it is. I mean, the cat. It's a Flats Cat. So
does he have a big cavo plate on it? You know, around the lower unit.
He doesn't, but I think it restricts him a little bit because he has those sponsons that come.
Oh,
you know,
where he won't get any turn, it'll hit the sponsons.
Yeah, I think his cavitation plate is going to be very limited. You know, they do make a less wide cavitation plate.
Yeah, he needs something to keep that water that comes from the tunnel. It's got to catch the bottom of that cavo plate and shove it down and keep that lower unit in the water, you know, keep water surrounding it, and that'll stop a lot of that blowout.
Yeah.
You know, with it trimmed down, he's got a jack plate. I guess he could put it all the way down in turns.
Yeah, and it, you know, and that's That's what
See,
he
that's
was
a problem
to.
With, you know, tunnels and skinny water boats and all that. It's, you know, it takes a while to get all the bugs out. You got to tweak them just right to get things like that normalized.
Sure. Sure. Do you think that putting, I mean, if you were blowing out, just let's just say, like, you were cruising along and you didn't do a 90-degree turn. You're doing about a 20-degree turn, a slight mm-hmm. turn, and you started right. blowing out maybe about 30 degrees or something like that. It would putting a cup in it, a four-blade prop could help. I mean,
yeah, four-blade prop. I mean, more. With a boat like that, you need a four-blade prop with a Mansfield cup in it anyway.
Okay.
You know, lower your pitch a little bit. It'll sacrifice you some speed on top end, but you're not going to it's like putting four-wheel drive on your boat when you do that. I run a four-blade on my big Kenner with a Mansfield cup in it. I get no slippage, you know. Plus, I've got the, you know, those little blowout holes in the prop hub. I've got those. I didn't pull them, the inserts all the way out. I drilled a, I forget what size bit I did, but I just drilled the holes out where I get some slippage out of the hole to get your R's up quick. And
yeah.
with them all the way out, I was getting my R's up too quick. But, man, when I'm in turns, I mean, running bayous and stuff like that at high speeds, I don't get any blowout or slippage at all.
Wow.
And
wow.
I mean, it just makes the boat more responsive in turns and everything else. It just it helps a lot.
Does the Kenner have a tunnel hole in it too?
No, I run a deep B.
Deep B.
Yeah. Now if I ran down south, even down south, you don't have to have that unless you're really fishing you know, back lakes and, you know, really skinny stuff. I mean, like yeah. I said, there's no perfect boat. You'd really need,
sure.
if I fish down south, I'd have two boats. I'd have a skinny yeah. water boat and then a, you know, like a Haney Magnum or something like that for my second yeah. boat, or really my main boat for deeper water and running open water, crossing some of those bays down there. Even though it's shallow down there, most of it, you still got to cross open water bays that get pretty nasty and rough and, you know, high winds.
Boy, you ain't kidding. We, you know, I fished for years with a buddy of mine. He had a flats boat, and I mean, I'm one of the skinny boats. Had a big old raised platform, man, and in the back bay, just amazing. Of course, you'd have to go across that bay, and it about beat your teeth out. I mean,
yeah, that's some of those boats you gotta cross that open rough water with them, man. They'll make your teeth.
Boy, I'm telling you, it was brutal. And great
Which
when you
I
got
didn't
there.
Mind when I was young. Now and I'm all old and beat up, and wore out. I don't want rides like that
yeah.
anymore. You can have all that.
I'm telling you. I mean, and you're right. I mean, I haven't found the perfect boat or anything. And you know, apparently everybody wants to go 100 miles an hour around here, which is, I guess, that's the trend. Nobody.
I guess you know, that's
what it is. But you know, it. But,
I'm too
you know,
old for that,
around.
Too. I've made it this far. I'm not going to risk any more.
yeah.
Can you imagine
yes,
eating it and hitting the water at 100 miles an hour?
Not good. My God. Oh, man. You know, it gets me nervous. I mean, even in a big boat, you know, I go in these big boats all the time. Customers ask me to go drive their boats, you know. And I went in one the other day. It was a 42 Freeman. Beautiful. Just gorgeous boat. I mean, it's a 70-plus mile-an-hour boat. 42 foot long, that's a big boat, you know, go that fast.
Yeah.
Even then, you know, even with that big boat, it starts getting a little squirrely, you know, when you get up there past 60, 70 miles an hour, it don't take much. It's a little bump, kind of veer you off one way, and yeah, I mean, you just, it takes me a while to get really, you know, comfortable riding a big boat that fast. And granted, you know, these guys, I'm sure they do it all the time. You know, they feel comfortable. But, boy, I tell you, in the back lakes, and even on the intercoastal, man, it just, you never know where it gets tilted up on the side or something like that. It wouldn't take much, you know. And, yeah, they just make me nervous. But, man, I can't imagine with two outboards on the back. I mean, geez.
Oh, I love running twins. Back when I had my big hydrosport, man, I loved that.
Really?
Get those things talking to each other and trimmed out and let her eat, baby. Let's roll. I'd leave Trinity Bay. I don't care how, you know, I'd be on the west side of Trinity Bay and say, man, let's go wade the south shoreline of East Bay. Hey, put her on the console and let her eat. We'll be there in about 20 minutes. We got her.
Oh,
get
shoot,
back
man.
Down from nothing. Everybody goes, man, that's a big old boat to be running the bay. I said, not really. You know where you're running. It's perfect.
Yeah, absolutely. If it works, it works. No doubt.
Quality rides, what it's all about.
That's it. 100%, man. But we're going to, like I said, we're going to continue working on this thing. I got today, and then we're going to put the big boat up in the warehouse and start whacking on it. So
never ending.
That's exactly right.
The assets of being a boat owner or owning two or three. Well, I'm lucky. I only have one boat to fool with, so I'm good.
Yeah.
All right, man. Well, Jeff, somebody wants to give you a call, come over and run a buffer for you on your boat while you're detailing it.
Yeah.
Throw them a number out.
Give me a holler anytime at 979-417-1013 or go to our website at stsladventures.com. Man, those shrimp boats there's a few of them still out there. I got a couple people that have kind of skipped along, and it's getting a little tougher and tougher, but hopefully they'll stay around for another couple of weeks, but I wouldn't expect to stay much longer than that. So give us a call if you want to go fishing.
Get a weather window and pop out, buddy. All right, man. Jeff, have a good Sunday.
All right, brother. You do the same. Thanks,
see you, man. Later. All right, it's time for our top of the hour break. You're listening to the Outdoor Show here at Sports Radio 610. We'll be right back.
Ready to start talking to your kids about financial literacy? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app that teaches kids and teens how to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest with your guardrails in place. Parents can send instant money transfers, automate allowance, and more. Plus, keep an eye on spending with real-time notifications. Join more than 6 million families building healthy financial habits together on Greenlight. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey. That's greenlight.com/odyssey.
It's better over here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in, trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.